Welcome to Shotgun Story Worthy at the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles, California. My name is Christine Blackburn, and we have such an exciting show lined up for you guys. Tonight playing the game, we have Brian Finkelstein, Mindy Rickles, Rachel O'Brien, and Eli Braden, plus our reigning champ, Jason Shapiro. Plus, we have three celebrity judges tonight. Heather McDonald is a comedian, an actress, and an author. She's best known for her appearances on the E-series Chelsea Lately and the show's spinoff After Lately. Heather also has a New York Times bestselling memoir entitled You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again, One Woman's Painfully Funny Quest to Give It All Up. And check this out, Heather's podcast Juicy Scoop is downloaded over 1 million times per month. Find Heather over at heathermcdonald.net and on Twitter at @heathermcdonald. Matt Oswalt is a writer who wrote for the children's program All That, and then he created the antithesis of children's shows, the surrealist comedy web series Puddin' Strip, and you can find his smart and funny feed at @MattOswaltVA. And Wendy Liebman is a comedian who's been a regular on so many late-night television shows that I can't even say all the first names. She's appeared on Carson, Fallon, Letterman, Kimmel, Ferguson, and Leno. Wendy has done half-hour specials for HBO and Comedy Central, and she's also been in three documentaries, The Aristocrats, The Boys, The Sherman Brothers Story, and Why We Laugh, Funny Women. And if that's not enough, Wendy was the recipient of the American Comedy Award for Best Female Comedian. And get this, recently Wendy was in New York Magazine as number 23 down in the crossword puzzle. Find Wendy at her website, wendyliebman.com, and on Twitter, at Wendy Liebman. All right, let me go over the rules for you guys. Now, we're playing three rounds of Shotgun Story Worthy tonight. The first two rounds are an all-play, and everybody plays. The stories will be called randomly to the stage. They'll spin the story worthy wheel of truth, and they'll tell a true one-minute story. Now, in the second round, all the storytellers tell a true two-minute story, and then three storytellers go on to the third round to tell another two-minute story. All right, let's go straight to the game, live in progress at the Improv. And listen to this, you guys. Whoever wins this game tonight gets this box. You know what's in this box? My homemade chocolate chip cookies. That's nice. Woo! Yeah. One of them may or may not have marijuana in it. I'm just saying. It's like a Russian roulette for bakeries. That's what it is. All right, all the storytellers' names are in here. So without further ado, let's call the first storyteller to the stage. And they're going to tell a true two-minute story, all right, you guys? The first storyteller coming to the stage.
Oh, you're dropping stuff.
Is the one and only Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Woo! Brian Finkelstein, he's a regular performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade. He's also the host of the L.A. Moth Story Slams. He's also won. He's also an Emmy-nominated writer for his work on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And you can follow him over on Twitter at B.S. Finkelstein. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Brian Finkelstein.
Hi.
Wow, you really spun it.
Small hands.
Just go.
Yeah.
All right. Small hands makes me think of small hands, small penis, big hands, big penis. I guess is the only thing, because I don't. And all I say is when I was in. High school, I have a younger brother, Eric, and my brother Eric is a great guy. He's a teacher, but he used to smoke, or he smokes a lot of weed. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that because he's a teacher, but it's New York City public school, so I'm sure it's, what are they going to do? Fire? They need teachers, so they can't fire him. So, but he's like a stoner, like a very sort of, like a sweet, nice, like, he's got a tattoo of the Grateful Dead dancing bears on one arm, and then like Homer Simpson, you know what I mean? Like that's my brother. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's a good guy. He's saving the world, teaching. But he's just a very sort of slow. But in high school, he wasn't like I didn't. He was 2 years younger than me, and I never really saw him. I didn't know much of like I didn't like him. I was an older brother, so I was like just it's you know it's fucking survival of the fittest in high school, and I didn't have time to take care of him. But then one day somebody told me that hey, is your brother Eric Finkelstein? I said yeah, and they're like, oh, your brother has a big dick. And it was a dude in the bathroom while we were pissing next to each other who told me that. And I became obsessed.
Keep on going. That doesn't mean you're dead.
I thought it was 2 minutes.
The first story is 1 minute long.
Oh. Anyway, I went to... for 6 months, followed my brother around and pulled his pants down until I finally eventually saw his dick. And it's gigantic. My little brother is a much bigger penis than I do. That's it.
Brian Finkelstein, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Finkelstein. All right, what'd you guys think of that story?
I think Big Dick on Little Bro was a delight. And I wonder, was he jealous? Was that hard to know that your little brother had such a larger penis than you?
Yeah.
Was his brother hard?
Yeah. I'm just glad he didn't hear the topic big hands or small hands and immediately do a Trump thing, because we've all heard enough of.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about Trump tonight, you know? So I'm glad he didn't go there, because he could have easily gone there.
Yeah, just bring the good news tonight, for
and
sure.
And then, is the brother single? I think the next question.
That's a very good question.
I just wonder if they can use visuals.
He is ish. It's complicated, dickish.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is the one and only Eli Braden. Eli. Eli Braden, you guys, he's written for Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Soup, Fashion Police, and Billy on the Street. He's best known for his frequent contributions to The Howard Stern Show. You can find him over on Twitter, at Eli Braden. All right, you guys, let him hear it. Woo-hoo!
All right, let's see. It's Drunk Tank. I have a minute, right?
You have 1 minute. Yes.
Okay, one time I was driving, I lived in the San Francisco area, the Bay Area, lovely. And I was driving up the Pacific Coast Highway one day, I had nothing to do. I had weed in my car, and I had a bowl, and I was doing nothing. I wasn't high, I was just enjoying California. And all of a sudden I saw a cop behind me pull up, and lights flashing, sirens flashing. I was like, oh shit, I gotta turn over. Pull over, I should say. A little nervous. 30 seconds left. Okay, cram a lot of info into this. Trump, let's talk about Trump. No. So I pull over, and the cop is like, okay, I want to search your car. I was like, what was I doing? Oh, no, well, nothing. I just want to search your car. And I knew my rights. I knew my rights, and I said, no, you cannot search my car. So it was very bold of me to take that stand. You cannot search my car. He was like, okay, I'll let you go, because he had to let me go. That's my rights. I was like, wow, that worked. You can actually tell your cop, you can't search my car. So I keep driving. I'm like, wow, this is great. About a mile later, I see the cop running up behind me again, lights flashing. I'm like, shit. I roll down my window. I throw out my bowl. I throw out my marijuana. I throw out everything. And then lo and behold, I pull over, and he just drives past me. And as soon as he gets past me, he turns the sirens off. And I'm like, that's when I learned cops were dicks. Okay.
Eli Braden.
Cops aren't dicks. I love cops.
I have a question. Can we have questions?
Yes, please.
Did you go back for your stuff?
I don't think I could have found it. It was like I was driving 60 miles an hour and just randomly thrown into a field.
Did you feel like so incredibly lucky?
I felt so incredibly lucky, but I also felt like, wow, that guy is a real asshole. But,
was it like really good, like medical marijuana? Or was it like something you bought from a high school kid that was all like stepped on? And
it wasn't the greatest. Know? It wasn't the greatest. Okay. It wasn't so like the stuff they have. The kids nowadays, am I right? I mean,
I love that story because I'm really high right now.
Oh, great.
Eli Braden, you guys. Eli Braden. There was a clock malfunction. I apologize. This is the clock, the remote control. It's in my sassy jumpsuit, and I bumped into the piano. You see what happens, people? Have you seen Craig at the bar? Have you seen him? Okay, just pointing that out. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now to tell a true one-minute story is the one and only Mindy Rickles. Mindy Rickles, you guys. Mindy Rickles is a comedian and an actress, and she was featured on Jeff Garlin's Dealing with Idiots, and she's also in the Paramount production A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Castle. You could see Mindy up at the Laugh Factory a lot, but she also does improvs all over Southern California and in Las Vegas. Find her on Twitter at Mindy Rickles. You guys, let her hear it.
Hired. Okay. I just took a Xanax, so that'll help. Okay. Let's see. So one of the first jobs I ever had, I was 19, and I got hired at K-Rock, the radio station. Someone I knew got me a job there. It wasn't really a real job. I worked for like an intern. I was his assistant. So it was like we were in a cubicle together, and I sat like between the trash can and one of the carts that you put into the tape machine. Anyway, so every day I would sit there with him, and he made like $3 an hour. I made $1.06. And so then I would go and take these very long, like 3-hour lunches. But anyway, one day they told me, Mindy, you can go into the studio and do one of the commercials just for fun. And I'm very much like a Howard Hughes type. If everyone here is like 16 or 15, but Howard Hughes was someone for a long time ago, and he hated stains and dirt, so I'm like that. I can't stand stains. I can't stand anything like that. It makes me gag. And it was very disgusting in the room. It was filthy, and there were guys like Jed the Fish and Louis the Leopard that were the jocks, and they would eat there, and it was stinky. And so I had to go in and do the commercial, and when I went to push the cart out, I know I'm going over time, I went to pull the cart out, and I saw there was a little dried...
You're not dead. Keep going.
There was a little dried piece of, I believe, a piece of filet of sole, just like... just like very dried on the cart, and I was very nauseous. I got very sick, and I was like, Farmer John sausage, the best sausage you'll ever have. And that was my last day.
Mindy Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Stay here, Mindy.
Woo-hoo.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever order filet of sole again?
First of all, it was someone else's, and as a kid growing
I know,
up,
but I mean after that. Like,
well,
did you
no,
have
and never
eaten?
Before, because I used to have it growing up. I was forced to eat it. Never again, and I never would. Even like deep fried, I couldn't. No.
That was like an eerily coherent story for somebody who allegedly just took a Xanax. I wonder if you just said that to curry favor with the judges.
Well, what happens is I take the Xanax and then I put a little amphetamine with it. So the combo.
Take
it's
this
like
cup
a combo meal. You know, like McDonald's.
I love it.
Okay.
It's a combo. So I'm shaky and I'm very relaxed.
Love it.
Do you have any extra Xanax?
I do in the car. You'll come out later. We'll talk about that. Okay.
All right, Mindy Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Mindy Rickles. All right, coming to the stage, two more storytellers coming up right now to tell a true one-minute story is the one and only Rachel O'Brien. Rachel. All right, you guys, Rachel O'Brien, she's a stand-up comedian and an actress and a writer, and she has a fabulous podcast called Be Here for a While. She's also on Bravo's hit TV show Vanderpump Rules, and you can find her on Twitter at Rachel No'Brien. You guys, let her hear it. Woo! That's a good spin.
Is it strong?
Yes.
Oh,
big bucks.
Mom, what does she do that's annoying that she doesn't do every day? Shit. So I don't know that I'll ever be a mom because my own niece and nephews don't really, like, no one's ever let me babysit them even. They're almost teenagers now. I've never been alone with them before. Except for one time. On my mom's birthday, I got to drive them from our house to the grocery store to buy her flowers and then back. But my mom was real sketchy about it. She was like, "You think this is going to be okay?" I'm like, "I'm 31 years old. It's fucking fine." But I just think no one has a lot of faith in me. And I got to see my niece and nephew recently, and I don't get to see them that often because they live in Tennessee, and I'm obviously not going there for no reason. And they were in LA, so I got to see them. And my niece really hit the nail on the head because she told me that she thought I was still in high school, which was really flattering, except for her reason was if I was any older, I would have a husband or a house. So it's like she's a bitch, you know what I mean? All right, did I do it hit a minute? Ooh, right on time.
Rachel O'Brien, let her hear it.
Very good. So, wait, Rachel, how old are the kids now?
I'm also on amphetamines, that's why I spoke so fast.
How old are the kids now?
They just had birthdays. 12 and 10?
Do you give them gifts and send them to Tennessee?
No, my mom gives them enough gifts. They're fucking spoiled.
I don't think you're a very good aunt.
Which is why I probably shouldn't have kids. My mom had to send me a text to remind me of their birthday.
I thought you were in high school too, so... Yeah. Maybe it's the hair and the
high bun. I thought you were just at junior college. Pierce, to be exact.
Pierce College? I was thinking Glendale Community College, but okay.
Rachel O'Brien, you guys, let her hear it. Rachel O'Brien. All right, you guys, one more person's on the way up right now to tell a true one-minute story. And, you know, this guy actually won Shotgun Story last month, and here he's here again. So Jason Shapiro's coming up right now. He's a writer, and he runs the popular Los Feliz Daycare Twitter account, and he's currently developing an animated pilot for Hulu based on that show. That's what
thank
I
you.
Understand.
Yeah, thank you.
You can find him on Twitter at Los Feliz Daycare and also at JD Shapiro. All right, you guys, let him hear it. Woo-hoo!
Wow, you really spun it.
Plastic surgery. Okay. Don't really have any experience with plastic surgery. But I'm going to tell a story that took place this last weekend, because why not? Why not? I don't know anything about plastic surgery. So here's the story.
Pivot.
I went home to Minneapolis this weekend, and I was spending time with my grandfather and his girlfriend. They've been together 8 years. I've never met her whole family. So we're having a family dinner. We're all of the Jewish faith, if you couldn't tell by my face and voice and everything. So a bunch of Jewish people in one room. And my grandfather had this new wonderful side table that he was really excited about. It's like this. The cool thing about this side table is it has an app attached to it. And the app makes this little ball make designs, all these different designs that go on for hours and hours and hours. So the two sides of the family, my grandpa, my parents, my aunts and uncles, his girlfriend Marilyn, her whole family, all Jews. We're eating dinner. Everyone's laughing. I look over at the table, and the design it's making is a swastika. I have a picture of it on my phone. I will show anyone who wants to see. Plastic surgery.
Jason Shapiro. All right, judges. What? Hold on, Jason. Listen
okay,
to this guy.
I'm very confused. An app, like an app on a phone he has on a table that's
yes.
Make, I don't get
it's
it.
It's an art piece. It is a table that is connected to an app, and the app makes wow. all of these random designs with sand.
How does your grandpa have something like so technically advanced?
They're Jews.
Yeah. Oh. There was a Kickstarter for it. It's called a Sisyphus table.
Wow. And did you think it knew that it was making a swastika?
I don't think so. I'm going to just show the judges.
Okay. Wow, that oh. sure is a swastika.
Yep.
Okay, oh so God. There's a little visual thing going on, folks, that you're not seeing at home, but the judges
but
did get
look
to
look
see
like
this.
He just showed us a photo of a swastika in 2017, and we all laughed.
All right.
Okay.
And we think it's charming.
Let's move on. Jason Shapiro, ladies and gentlemen,
yay.
Here. Okay, so before we start the second round, which everybody again plays, they're going to come up and tell a true two-minute story. Judges, what did you think of the first round? Did you get a taste of all the storytellers tonight?
Yes, I did. I did.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm trying
yeah?
to make sure I know whoever.
All right, you guys. Coming up right now for round two is the one and only. You've seen him before. Give him a big hand. Eli Braden, folks. Eli.
All right.
All right, let him hear it, guys.
That
will. Here we go.
Now see, you spin in the opposite direction, and that's what makes you a rebel.
Oh, that's the only reason. That's the only way it went for me before. I don't know. Vacation, school days, VDs. Oh no, walk of shame. Oh my God. Wow. Well, the good news is I have a little time to stretch out this time. Let's see. Start the 2 minutes. I can kind of think something through. Let's see. Walk of shame. Wow. Let's see. Walk of
so
shame.
So many to choose from. Is
it
that what
can
it
be
is?
You.
Yeah,
leaving.
There's so many to choose from.
There's so many. There's so many women that left your place.
So
left
many.
The place. Or it could be a walk of shame that you were just shameful that you ever attended that place. It doesn't have to be the traditional walk of shame.
It has to be sex, though. That's kind of my brand.
It's your brand?
Yeah.
Sex is your brand?
Sex is
that.
My brand.
Just picture yourself in a CVS pharmacy at 6 in the morning, sobbing.
Actually, I know one. I have
all
one.
Right, let's
it's
go.
Not so much a walk of. Actually, it is a walk. It's a slow walk. It's a little. It's a stroll. There was
jaunt
this,
of shame.
Back in my San Francisco days, again, man, I was crazy in my 20s in San Francisco, and there was this woman who always wanted to hook up with me. Why? I don't know. Maybe because I'm hot. But I finally gave in and let her bone me, and I boned her, I guess, actually. And I was really, 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 really drunk when it happened. And it was good from what I remember. But the next thing that I remember after it happened, apparently I passed out. And next thing I know, it's about 3 or 4 in the morning. And I wake up to hear her screaming at me, Eli! Eli, what are you doing? And I was just pissing into her closet all over her shoes.
Oh.
And so... I was ashamed, and I clearly walked to the closet, and the next morning, I just kind of, we hung out for like a few minutes, and then I just really just made my quickest exit out of there, and I was ashamed all day, and I walked a lot that day, so I kind of think that kind of counts. I kind of prepped stories for all the other topics. I think I maybe should get extra points for the fact that that was a
Well, first of all, I think that you need to do a new category that's called Piss of Shame. And it's just all the times that you've peed in a shameful manner.
Yes, I like
that.
It's
own category.
Yeah, and technically, these shoes that you pissed on are used for walking, so you brought it all together.
Full circle.
Like a,
Excellent job.
Like a poet, you did, you know?
I actually know somebody that that happened to, and it wasn't you who was... there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a real prop. Like it's a...
Pissing in closets or pissing on shoes specifically?
Pissing in... You were asleep, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so pissing it's in the middle of the night. It's like a real thing.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your bravery and for telling us
thank
that,
you.
That true disgusting story.
I should have said one more thing. I don't mean to name drop, but she
all
actually...
Not all heroes wear capes, folks.
What's that?
Not all heroes wear capes.
Well, that's thank you for that. I do wear a cape often, though. But I should just mention that she, this particular woman, I can't remember her name, but she did know one of the Teletubbies.
Oh, well, there you go.
Kind of a little name
drop. Name dropping.
Eli Braden, ladies and gentlemen. Let him hear it. All right, you guys.
Lost a point for the name dropping.
I mean, can we all agree with that he was a bit of a star fucker with the Teletubby connection?
Well,
I think he wanted to replace the Teletubby.
It was the piss yellow Teletubby, wasn't it, too?
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is the one and only Rachel O'Brien. Rachel!
Woo!
I hope you spin mom again.
All right, let her hear it, guys.
Spin that wheel. Like Mick Jagger. Me something I know. Oh, thank God it wasn't venereal disease. Clearly I wouldn't have that. Vacation. Okay. So vacation. I went with one of my friends to Charleston for the first time last year. But previously I had broken my hand leisurely biking in Martha's Vineyard. And I'm not trying to sound fancy. I shouldn't have been in Martha's Vineyard. I didn't belong there. I'm from a small town in Oregon. My dad's a lumberjack. And so, okay, I'll tell the bike story. So I'm leisurely biking in Martha's Vineyard. I rent a bike for God knows what reason, because my boyfriend at the time was like helping his aunt close up the house, because that's what douchebag East Coast people do. And so I'm like, fuck that, I'm going for chowder. And so I get on a bike, and I know I seem like the type of person that might be drunk at 11 a.m., but I wasn't at this time. And so I just tipped over on the bike for no reason, just like a clumsy moron, and I fell, hit my head, and then my hand, and... then shouldered myself to the side of the road like I was in Vietnam, and I was being really dramatic about it because my hand, like this pinky was making a break for the rest of the hand, like it was totally fucked up. And then I just laid on the side of the road with my broken hand for a while, and no one would help me, really, because I just looked pathetic until one guy in a pickup truck, I don't know if he drove from Oregon, but the only person in a pickup truck on Martha's Vineyard drove by and went, "You're bleeding." And I was like, "Ugh." Threw me a sock, it hit me in the head, fell on the ground, and he was like, "Clean it up." I was like, "Okay." And then he drove off. Anyways, now this is this hand making a fist. This is this hand. It didn't really heal, and so now I hate Martha's Vineyard. And I have a clock, but I can like poke people with it if I don't even want, like, but I can't like grab things. Like if I wanted to grab someone's tater tot off their plate, like if I order a salad at lunch and they get tater tots and I'm like trying to be cash about it, I can't just, I have to like swoop in like a hawk on it. And then dip it in ranch, and it's like everyone knows. So now I'm stuck with this forever. Also, I also broke up with that boyfriend right afterwards. Like, I thought I was going to take this hand on the road single for the first time. Fucking way too confident of a move. All right, that's my time.
Rachel O'Brien, you guys. Rachel O'Brien.
Rachel, do you consider yourself, like, handicap light?
I think so. I think I should apply for, like, Social Security or something.
Have you tried to get to the front of the line at Disneyland as a handicapped person?
No, but...
Because I will go with you if you can score one of those passes.
I might be able to. It's not my first rodeo. You know I dated a paralyzed guy for a couple
of
years.
I know, I love that. That's my favorite story. Yeah. Can we also add a category of, have you dated a paralyzed person? Because Rachel has.
It's the only me kind of
very good.
Thank you.
All right, you guys.
I had a question. Did you get back on the bicycle?
No.
You've never been back on the bicycle?
Never got back on the bike again?
It's been a year.
You haven't ridden a bike since?
No, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, I don't think I'm very coordinated.
I think you could do it.
Yeah. I should have been drunk.
Come on, Rachel, ride that bike.
I wanted to say I'm one of those East Coast douchebags, but I didn't penalize you for it.
Martha's Vineyard takes a piece of everybody.
Whoa.
Do you close up the house, Wendy?
No, I don't have a place in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, okay.
I'm just from New York.
I see. All right, you guys.
I have a summer house.
You do, Heather? Where
I do.
Is it?
It's my own house. It's in Woodland Hills. It's 110 there today. That's why I'm here in flip-flops.
It's always summer.
Yes, it's always extremely hot, close to the sun.
Do people who live in those tiny houses also have like a summer tiny house somewhere else?
Just a little shed.
Like a little, a second tiny house.
I would like a second tiny house. I would like one house, actually. Would be nice. All right, you guys.
Is that a show on TLC?
Coming to the stage right now. For a true two-minute story is the one and only Jason Shapiro. Let him hear it, you guys. Come on. All right, here he comes. Let him hear it, guys.
Plastic surgery.
I really don't want to complain on plastic surgery. Kids. Okay. Kids. This one will be good. I worked at a summer camp for a long time. It was in Webster, Wisconsin, which is... city in Wisconsin, and some of our alumni include Bob Dylan, nobody else, the guy from How to Make It in America. So I was a program director in 2009 for 14-year-olds. So I had about 60 14-year-olds and about 12 19-year-olds. So 72 kids, basically. And I was 22 at the time, and we were going on a canoe trip. And I was going to be the senior most advisor there. My friend Kimmy and I, who are co-program directors, were in charge of 72 children, 14 and 19-year-olds. So we are on the lake one day. Everything's going well. Everyone's got their walkie-talkies. You know, we're just paddling along, and a kid is lost. We've totally lost a kid. And so it gets to the point where we have 5 minutes until we need to call camp to let them know that a child is missing. And then all of a sudden we just see a kid walking on the side because she didn't want to paddle anymore. So crisis averted, we have the kid back. But it didn't end there. That night when all of the 14-year-olds had gone to sleep, the 19-year-olds wanted to smoke weed. So they came up to me, the cool guy, and asked if they could start smoking weed. And of course, because I was the cool guy, I said, yeah, you can smoke weed. Just pretend like we didn't have this conversation. So the minute these kids toked it up, a rainstorm came down, and all 60 of the 14-year-olds were awake. And they were wet, and they were out of their tents, and now everybody is high as balls. And so we sat around and we sang Bob Dylan songs.
All right, Jason Shapiro.
Very good.
And Bob Dylan will be very proud to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you friends with the any of the campers, 14 or 19, on Facebook today?
Yes. Yeah. They're all like 25 and 22 now.
Are you hitting on them?
No. I'm in a happy relationship, but some of the people that I had friended on Facebook years ago have grown into beautiful people.
And are they getting suggestive and private messaging you?
Not at the moment.
Wait till they hear this podcast.
Jesus. Is this like a catch a predator setup here? What the hell are you doing? What is going on up here?
Well,
these questions
now.
Are so...
They're 22.
Right, you know, exactly. But you were like a hot counselor and like, you know... Or not that hot. I don't know. You were the hot counselor. You let them smoke pot. They're going to contact you now.
That is pretty cool.
All right, you guys. Jason Shapiro.
Yay.
All right. Coming to the stage for a true two-minute story is the one and only Mindy Rickles. Mindy. Come on. Let her hear it, you guys. Come on.
Woo-hoo.
A true two-minute story. Let her hear it.
Okay, faith. All right, so shock. I know you think I'm like Mormon. No, I was brought up as a Jew, but I've always really preferred Christianity, and it's just a more fun religion. Everything about it I prefer. I grew up, we had a family friends that we used to go to church with them, And I had an Italian boyfriend at one time from Rhode Island, and it was great because we would go to midnight mass, which, you know, I got to stay up late. And also, you know, I'd be sitting in the church there. It was in Rhode Island. I'd be all dressed or whatever. And, like, there'd be music playing, and it's beautiful. It's midnight mass. And then suddenly I look down. There's, like, hay, like Farmer in the Dell, all over the ground. And then next thing you know, I feel like a little kind of a sheep sort of gnawing at my hair extension. And sure enough, there's, like, 20 sheep and elk and reindeer coming through the church, magical. I love that. I also love the nativity scene, you know, with the baby Jesus just sitting in the middle and the Virgin Mary. Everybody's cozy. I wanted to, like, jump in with the baby Jesus and cuddle. So that was something I always enjoyed. And as I said, the friends of ours, we would go to their church. And a lot of the time I enjoyed because we would sit in the little pews, you know, my knees. I have rug burns from other experiences in my life. But I also got those from kneeling. And my mother would say, even though we're Jewish, but you need to kneel as well. So we would all get to, she's here, and I'll imitate her again as everyone leaves. So she said, please get down for the Christian people. So I would get down like that. And then another thing that was extra special was when we would go with our friends who were Christian down the line for the communion, right? And, I mean, the crackers, maybe it's kind of sacrilegious to say, but the crackers were, like, so buttery. And they were, like, so melt, you know, like Keebler elves. They, like, just melted in my mouth. And I'm, like, 11, so who cares? You know, no one's paying attention. I looked like Christine Onassis then. And, of course, the fourth whole section of the room doesn't know who that is. But she was a very homely woman. Her nose was out to here, which is mine. Oh, then I went over.
Mindy Rickles. No, perfect timing. Mindy Rickles.
Mindy, have you been to Christian or Catholic mass since your Italian boyfriend?
No.
Well, I've got a great parish for you to join. Just kidding. Just come with me one Sunday. You'd really enjoy it. I like that. Very funny.
Yeah. I know a lot of Jews, and none of them have ever mined the Catholic religion for humor.
It
seems like it's the other way around. Yeah. As a Catholic kind of slash Christian, there's nothing funny about our religion. Okay.
Oh, really?
You guys have all the good jokes, let me tell you. There's nothing even remotely funny about what we do. It's just, it's
well,
a
now
very
it's
boring,
become
vanilla.
A black and dark, very spotlight kind of a place to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, The Keepers on Netflix is hilarious.
Oh, I wanted to see that. I have to see that.
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
Anything with nuns and disturbing underbelly of society, I love that.
So funny.
I totally get that. I love the music in church.
Right?
Right? It's beautiful because I grew up Jewish also. But I do sing Christmas carols when I get nervous.
People would think we're both Swedish, but we're Jewish by birth. Right, exactly.
So Jews sing Christmas carols? Is that true?
I do.
That's like a thing?
I have one more question.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Labels ring.
When you went to church, did you think that Jesus was kind of hot, like on the cross, because he has a pretty good body.
Really sexy, and you know, Jewish
like
guys.
Like longer hair, like
a
little bit of
hippie,
like
stock, very Burning Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty
Absolutely.
Hot.
Depends on the Jesus.
Most of them are pretty hot. The ones on the crucifix look really good.
They're very Jim Morrison.
Yeah,
cut right here.
They're cut.
Yeah,
they're cut. They have
like
soft
like a
hair.
The guy doing spoken word at Coachella.
Yeah.
Totally does. Like, he had a
All right, you guys. Mindy Rickles. Let her hear it. And the last contestant in round two is the one and only Brian Finkelstein. Let him hear it, you guys. Brian Finkelstein.
Yay.
All right, now that is a healthy spin right there. And it gives me a moment to explain to you guys, like many of you may know, is that I bought that wheel by selling all my gold for $680. Riverside promo wheels, that's right.
Oh my God, I can't believe you got the same thing twice. Your brother is just fucking shoving it in your face, his big dick. God, doesn't he know you were the firstborn? What a fucker.
It's not big, it's really big. It's like freaking. Anyway. Oh my God. What is it? Breakup. Years ago, I was approaching 40, and I wanted to meet somebody my own age because I was dating age inappropriate women because I was a sad person, and you could take them out for a burger and they'd be like, okay, and that's about where I was. And so I decided to meet somebody older, and so I asked my friend to set me up, and she did with somebody, and I was nervous, and she was from Boston, which, you know, and I'm from New York, so I don't. they're racist. Anyway, so the no offense, sorry, but so the we went out for drinks, and we went to the Grove, which was like bad, and then because it's the Grove, and so but she said, okay, let's go to dinner, and so I said, great, and she goes, you know, you're really nice, but you seem like you're not very funny. And Cindy, who set us up, said you were a comedy writer and you don't seem very funny. And so that made me a little sad and nervous. So I asked a friend, I'm going out with this late at night. And she said I wasn't funny. What could I do to be funny? We're going to dinner. He goes, oh, you know what ladies like is practical jokes. So he said, why don't you fake propose to her? So I had this engagement ring that I had for 15 years that I was going to originally give to this girl, Julia, who broke up with me on New Year's years earlier to go out with a drummer. Julia was a glass blower. That's all you need to know about her. And so I had the waiter bring over this ring, and I got that on my knee like Moonstruck, which, again, people don't know that movie, but you should watch it. And she said, she looked at me and everyone in the restaurant clapped, and she's like, you know, I've never done anything spontaneous. Yes. And the whole restaurant clapped, and I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't know how to handle it because I don't like confrontation. Plus, I was paying for the meal and I wanted to eat the meat. It was a good dinner. And so we were at Santa Monica Pier, and after I told her, like, hey, remember before when you said I wasn't funny? Sight. You know, like, how do you tell? Like, I didn't say that, but how do you tell somebody? And so I told her, and she took my ring, which was worth about $10,000, and threw it off the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, no way.
Brian Finkelstein, wow.
Ouch.
Ooh. That's a breakup.
Oh, my God.
M. Night Shyamalan ending of yours, man. That was brutal. That was tough.
Early M. Night Shyamalan, hopefully.
Wait, how many years ago was...
Wait, sorry.
This was...
What did you ask?
I said, can you see yourself with her today?
No, I'm married now. And I actually told that story at a show, and my wife was in the audience, came backstage and told me that she did that where she pretended to be pregnant. And that's how she... And then that's how my wife and I started dating.
By she telling told that you... Story. Wait.
My wife went on a blind date before we met and pretended to be pregnant.
To get out of it.
To be funny.
Oh,
and the pillow fell out, and the guy's like, it's not.
I thought you were saying that your wife told you that she was pregnant so that you would marry her, and that's when she revealed it. When you should. Wait. When she threw the ring, what the hell did you do?
At
the Santa Monica Pier, where the Ferris wheel is.
Yeah, at night. Because we went to that restaurant, Lobster, which is terrible. But, I freaked out. And then I called people the next day and went online and to see if you could, but the current's there and there's no way to dive.
Oh my God.
Did you drive her home?
I did. I drove her to the hotel and we didn't talk. I mean, she didn't know. She probably assumed.
Did she say I'm sorry? Did she say I could?
No, she was mad at me. It's weird because you guys are seeming defensive. When I've told this to friends before, everyone says I'm the idiot for fake proposing to somebody who's... Who was almost
well, first of all, I've been on a date with someone who's like, you don't seem that funny. And I was like, let's end it right here. So I can't believe that when someone said that you weren't funny, that you
but you know,
try to prove it.
Is there a comedy writer who hasn't had a woman say, you're not that funny in person? You know, every single comedy writer goes through that, okay? That's like part of, come on. What's that old joke?
But I was trying
to ruin your party and invite a comedian.
I've been on
stage and people said you're not funny.
I mean, how long did it take you to get over that without feeling sick to your stomach?
A long time, because it was, at the time, money was, it was a big deal. It was a, I mean, it's still a
huge
deal, but it was like, it was. Yeah.
Where is that woman today?
In Boston, still.
Do you Facebook stalk her?
No, I know.
A mermaid
I don't,
is
I'm not friends
your
with her.
Did you ever like consider getting like scuba diving equipment and just seeing if you could like go down there and just scurry the bottom of the?
I did, but the idea of like walking through the Santa.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
but do you have a hard time?
Romantic about that.
Do you have a hard time going to the Santa Monica Pier?
Yes, for lots of reasons, but yes.
Brian Finkelstein, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Finkelstein.
All right, you guys. There's one
that was
more
amazing.
Round. One more round, and the judges are going to put three names in this envelope. Here you go. And then those three storytellers are going to go on for the final round and tell another true two-minute story. I want to thank you guys all again for coming out tonight. Give yourselves a round of applause. All right, you guys, coming up to the stage right now for the final round to tell a true two-minute story is the one and only Mindy Rickles. Mindy!
Woo!
Pets.
2 minutes?
Yep.
All
pets.
Right, because I always go over. Okay, so growing up, we had pets, and we were never close to them. One was like Sarge. He lived under the table. He's a bitter, angry dog. Maybe like a little kick when you walk by. Anyway, and then also growing up, we had these two poodles, these standard poodles named Joker and Clown. I don't know where they got their names. Silver poodles, and they, you know, I saw them outside. They were cute and they were like sort of humping each other. And I thought, oh, you know, they're gay. That's fine. I love it. Then a couple days later, I find out like from the people that gave us, oh, our house Joker and Clown, they're so adorable. You know, they're brothers. Ew, right. Yeah. So I was like, ew, so now they're gay brothers. You know, I'm sorry. That was disgusting. So that kind of made me like so off from animals. So I've never been into animals at all. And then we got this dog, Bella, 2 years ago from the pound. She's like the sweet little girl. She's the only girl in my house because I have teenage boys and I'm very girly. So we spend most of our time together. And, you know, I constantly am talking to her, you know, like she's a person. Hi, Bella. You know, you want to come with mommy into the garage? We'll make a pipe bomb. Come, sweetheart. You know, like whatever. Let's make pastry, whatever I say to her. So anyway, my mother has this dog, Chauncey, and she's here tonight. She'll be very offended, but he's a real bastard, okay? So he comes over with Bella, right? And she has the whole yard to do her business and whatever. And she goes out there like a lovely lady, like a little ballerina girl, does her peas and poos with this Chauncey, this pain in the ass bastard. He's got to get right up on her ass, right? Because he wants to dominate the area. And while she pees, he's like right there on her, okay? It's really annoying. And then the other, last week, he comes in. And he, like, lifts his leg and just pisses right all over her ass, okay? Which was like, so, you know, she felt like a little whore, you know, dirty and filthy. He's walking around. You know how those, I don't know, he's like a, whatever he is, a Mastiff Bill, you see, I know dogs, a Mastiff Bill Pulsifilabon. I don't know, a very tough asshole dog. And he was like her pimp. Okay. Oh, I have more time. Oh, my God. So when I was young in 1600, no. Anyway, so now I love dogs and she lets
it up. Mindy Rickles.
That time. That was, I almost got the time. Okay.
Nice. Pee has been a real recurring theme on tonight's
peeing.
Show.
Oh, because I'm doing it right now. Yeah.
Every
now,
other story
I'm wearing a
about
diaper.
Pee on some way.
Yeah.
Were you hoping to get the mom story?
Yes. See, we're like
your
sisters.
Mom is here.
She's here, and I started to imitate her a little earlier, but I couldn't do the full thing, and I thought, oh, I'll do it in the mom story, but I didn't get a chance to. And she's bi-fluid and transgender, and she's changing right now into another gender as we speak. No, but we're very close. So I did want to imitate her, but I didn't have time, so that's okay.
Do a quick one. We have time.
Yeah. Well, just, no, she does this thing always. She's very, like, smiling, but, like, her tongue, like, darts out. She's like, so then I went... to the store with friends, and they were not happy. You know, like she's like swatting a lizard or a fly with her mouth. It's, I don't do that. I'm crazy, but not like that. Okay.
I have a quick question about the pets.
Yes.
Now that you've experienced gay brothers, which does happen in real life too.
Right.
There's like these porn brothers that I've seen.
Really?
Yes.
I love
they're
that.
They're identical twins. And
oh, I'm so into
they
that.
They bone each other. It's pretty amazing.
See, I... Wow.
You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
See, I like shows like documentaries like that with a little person on the shoulder of a full body person.
Okay. Do you believe that a pet can, that a dog can commit suicide? Because I do. Where they just jet out into traffic because they're miserable.
Only Paris Hilton's dog.
Right. Well, I would run out into traffic if I was Paris's dog. No, I've heard that dogs are very depressed and they put them on antidepressants now. So, and they'll like lay, you know, if someone dies and the emergency, they'll like lay in the road for days and months, you know, over the body. These are the kind of shows I watch on Netflix. And these
okay, but you don't think they're suicidal. You don't think they can commit suicide.
Well, you know, if you told like, me they, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if they can.
Oh,
I
thought you
wonder.
Knew. I thought it was like after The Nun's Keeper, right after that was the
no,
show on
I have
dogs
not
that
seen
killed
a documentary
themselves.
On suicidal okay. dogs, but I'm sure
no,
it's coming
I
out.
No, I think it's possible.
I think it is, too.
Why not?
Yeah. Let's discuss.
All right, you guys. Mindy Rickles. Okay, let her hear it. Mindy Rickles. All right, two more stories tonight, you guys. Have you been having a good time? Are you having a good time? Yes, thank you. All right. Right now, coming to the stage is the one and only Eli Braden. Yeah. Eli. Woo! All right, you guys, let them hear it.
I want to say so much. Thank you guys so much for having me back. This is such an honor.
We just wanted
well,
to see
a hard
back.
Decision.
You said Eli? Why did you say that name?
It was that pee story that got us.
Mom. Wow. Okay. Okay. Let's do this thing, right? All right. My mom. Wow. I came out of her vagina. First off, let's just get that out of the way. Kind of gross, but let me see. Do you mind if I check my phone if I have any notes about my mom? Let's see if maybe I have some texts from her or. Nope. My mom had me when she was 18.
No props.
No props, okay. My mom was only 18 when she had me. Needless to say, it was a mistake. I am a mistake. And I wear that with pride. Honestly, I really do. My dad was a musician, and my mom, as much as she clearly tries to pretend like she wasn't, was a groupie. And I'm going to really kind of phrase things very carefully, because my mom did listen to a podcast where I told a very involved story about her once, and she really was upset, so I'm really living in fear that she will listen to this. So I'm just going to tell you the truth about it, but I'm going to make it sweet, because she's the greatest person in the world, and I love her so much. I mean, if I could date her, I would, to be honest. But my mom is, at this point, the most liberal person. She's the most liberal person in the world. Like, she's just like, the fact that I was enthusiastic about voting for Hillary Clinton, she was just seething at me, like, oh, I hate her so much. She's a Bernie. She's a Bernie or bust person, even though she's 60. And but there was a phase, apparently, I never knew about it till years later, but I was going through a bunch of stuff in my parents' house. They save everything. And I found all these envelopes with a little rose drawn on them and something that says every life is special, like written on it, like in this really, like she'd written it in a very fancy font and everything. And I was like, Mom, what is this about? And she said, well, she was very embarrassed. She's like, I actually went through right after you were born, I went through a pro-life phase, because everyone had told me, abort this kid, and you're 18, your whole life's ahead of you. And I was so, I enjoyed your birth so much in having you. Long story short, she didn't have an abortion. Here I am. She was happy about it. Now she wants Bernie to win.
Eli Braden, folks. Eli Braden.
Thank you.
So were you aborted or not? I didn't get that.
as far as I know, I was not. Oh, okay. Although some days in this town, I wish that I was.
Did you ever think about suing your mom for giving birth to you?
Suing her?
Yes. That it wasn't your choice.
If she had anything to give me, I might.
Are you a good drummer?
I'm a good drummer, yeah.
Really?
I just wanted to tell you I'm almost your mom's age, so you could have come out.
Oh, please.
Wait.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, okay. Well, what does being a good drummer have to do with that, though?
No, just because your dad was the drummer.
Oh, my dad was actually, he wasn't a drummer. He was the guitarist.
Oh.
But you heard musician, you heard drummer. Just to be clear, drummers are not actually musicians, but...
I've heard that.
Yeah. You like drummers, though. Is that your thing, drummers?
No. I just thought you said your dad was a drummer.
He wasn't a drummer, but he was definitely a comer. Am I right?
Ew.
Well, he came at my mom. I'm just saying.
Eli Braden, ladies and gentlemen. Eli Braden. All right, you guys. I that hold in this envelope the name of the final storyteller of the night. And that person coming to the stage right now is Brian Finkelstein. Brian.
Woo!
All right, you guys. Let him hear it.
Hit that wheel.
Woo! He spins it on the fly. I like it.
VDs.
All right. This is now. I have the same dilemma you had about people hearing it. All right, so years ago I used to live in Brooklyn in Williamsburg, pre-hipster gentrification, and I used to work, I was like, it was a bunch of people who were moving there to be a bunch of artists and stuff, but we didn't really have any talents, and we were like, we bought paints and instruments, but we didn't, so I eventually got a job at this place, Kiehl's, which sells skincare, when it was just one store. Now it's a corporation. Don't buy from there, they're owned by L'Oreal, they're shit, but they were once this mom and pop shop. And I hope they're not a sponsor. And so they, but I made a lot of money. I was a doorman. I got paid $8 an hour. But then they slowly like made me a skincare consultant. The owner actually said they wanted somebody who was unfabulous, because I was the only straight guy that worked there. So basically somebody ugly is what she meant. I guess I filled a quota. Anyway, but I made a lot of money. I was making like close to $100,000 a year in my early 20s. And so, I started to get these golden handcuffs, and I started to feel like I was not doing much with my life. And I wanted to be cool with my friends in Brooklyn who were doing a lot of coke and having more fun, and I slowly pulled away. So I decided one night to get a hooker. It was my way of doing it. But I was very nervous about it because I'm Jewish. And I called up, and this hooker came over. And it was a really awkward situation. But my roommate, who encouraged me to like cut loose that day, and we did coke and did all these things. And then he came out with like a boombox and played House of the Rising Sun by Bob Dylan, and just stood there and said, "Dude, this is wrong. You know, like there's the sex slave. It's not good for feminine." Like totally like shamed me for doing that. I felt bad, and so I went and tried to get my money back by telling the prostitute that I had an STD, and she's just like kind of looked at me like, "Yeah, so who doesn't?" And then I said, "I feel like I don't want to do this." And it was like an old credit card machine that they had to do my credit card, and they like gave me a refund by doing this. And I actually got the full refund and hugged the driver and her, and they left, and I never slept with a prostitute.
Brian Finkelstein.
Did you know what kind of venereal disease, like did you make one up?
So no, that it I should have. I would have gone straight to AIDS, I think. Like if I'm going to...
This was funny and informative, so...
Oh, thanks.
Did they accept Discover Card?
They might have. I felt like these people would have. Okay.
I like that you guys understood that it was like, even though she was a happy hooker, you saw her as a sex slave. And have
public radio kills you, you know? You hear those stories and then you start to...
Yeah, the trafficking. Have you ever seen those big signs on Sunset called sugardaddy.com where girls just like will screw you for like a Birkin bag? It's like a hooker light.
No, that's genius though for like would you millennials.
Would you be comfortable with that if you weren't married and you didn't lose a ring in Santa Monica Pier?
No, I wouldn't. Because it's just, yeah, now I feel like...
And you don't like shopping for purses.
Yeah, and I'd rather just stay home and watch TV. You know what I mean? I don't care anymore.
Right, you're over it.
Fuck it.
All right, you guys. Brian Finkelstein, let him hear it. All right, so I am handing the judges the three names, and they are going to choose one winner to put their name in the envelope, and that person wins my famous chocolate chip cookies. How exciting. Yeah, you guys? Yeah? All right. I want to thank our bartender tonight, Craig. Thank you so much over there, Craig. And, of course, let's hear it for the sound guy in the back, Arias. And our announcer, Jim Coughlin. Thanks, Jim Coughlin. I appreciate that. And my co-producer, John Cohen. Give it up for John Cohen. A little louder for John Cohen. Thank you to the Improv Club. Thank you to Wondery Network. Yep, folks, I sold all my gold. I bought that wheel. So a little Hobie cat from Bobby Pfeiffer. I was Bobby Pfeiffer's girlfriend. I was 17. He gave me a little necklace, a Hobie cat, because we used to go out in his catamaran and have sex on the ocean. Yes, I was 17. He used to like to go down on me with a flashlight. Not inside me, I mean to look. All right, you guys. Are you guys?
We
have a winner.
They have a winner, and that's what I need to know. And how did you guys come to the determination that you did?
It was hard.
The parking meter is about to expire, so we have to...
We chose the winner because we felt it truly was... a real story from his life, and that it was a beginning of... Sorry. We don't know. Or they, because maybe they want to be referred to as they, there, and them. I shouldn't even say a pronoun. A real story from this human being's life that had a beginning, a middle, of an end. Yeah. And so that's why.
All right, let's give a big round of applause to all the contestants tonight. Eli Braden, Rachel O'Brien, Jason Shapiro, Mindy Rickles, and Brian Finkelstein. And let's give it up for our fabulous judges, Heather McDonald, Matt Oswald, and Wendy Liebman. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of Shotgun Storyworthy tonight is the one and only Brian Finkelstein. Let him hear it.
Hey, Brian.
Come on up, Brian. Come on up.
Come on up, Brian.
One more time, you guys. Heather McDonald, Matt Oswald, Wendy Liebman. All right, you guys. My name's Christine Blackburn. Good night. Thank you.